Planning the Land Battle, the British High Command. A wiry elfin figure, whose face was among England's most recognizable, attired in immaculate battle dress and padded shoes, popped to his feet, pointer in hand. But before General Bernard L. Montgomery could utter a syllable, a sharp rap sounded. The rap grew bolder. A snowdrop flung open the model room door, and in swaggered George S. Patton, Jr., the hard-driving and outspoken U.S. Lieutenant General. Never reluctant to stage an entrance, Patton had swept through London in a huge black Packard car, adorned with three-star insignia and sporting dual Greyhound bus horns. Ignoring Montgomery's scowl, he found his bench in the second row and sat down. With a curt swish of his pointer, Montgomery stepped to the great floor map. He had been schooled here at St. Paul's. Every morning for 4 years, he had come to this hall to hear prayers in Latin. His office now occupied the High Master's suite, to which he claimed never to have been invited as a boy. Glancing at his notes, 20 brief items written in his tidy cursive on unlined stationery, Montgomery began in his reedy voice, each word as sharply creased as his trousers. "There are 4 armies under my command," he said, 2 comprising the assault force into Normandy, and 2 more to follow to secure the beachhead. "We must blast our way on shore and get a good lodgment before the enemy can bring sufficient reserves to turn us out. Armored columns must penetrate deep inland, and quickly on D-Day. This will upset the enemy plans and tend to hold him off while we build up strength. We must gain space rapidly and peg out claims well inland." The Bay of the Seine, which lay within range of almost 200 fighter airfields in England, had been designated as the invasion site more than a year earlier for both its flat sandy beaches and its proximity to Cherbourg, a critical port needed to get supplies to the invading forces. True, the Pas de Calais coastline was closer, but it had been...